Hello everybody, it's George of Ireland. Well, thank you for coming back to the channel. So now, talking about what's going on between Cuba and the United States. For several months, there's been American blockade of Cuba, so they've threatened other countries not to sell oil or liquid natural gas to Cuba, so Cuba's virtually out of fuel. And even for a not very developed country, there's almost nothing can happen without fuel. Cuba does have some oil production, but it's not sufficient for even domestic usage, never mind export. So they, you know, other countries, Mexico, Venezuela, anywhere else, not doing it. Russia sent one shipload several weeks ago, but apparently that's not run out. So, you know, no jet fuel. Tourism was a major factor in the economy. That's gone to virtually zero. There's hardly any electricity. Even hospitals can't have enough. So is this illegal? It's the kind of thing that Russia does using the energy weapon. But the latest American gambit is to indict the quondam president of Cuba, Raul Castro. Okay, so he's 94 years old, and his elder brother Fidel Castro ruled that country for around half a century. Then Raul Castro ruled for several years, and his grandson is quite a major figure in the regime, often acts as his bodyguard. Okay, he's not a member of the Castro dynasty. He now is president, that guy Díaz-Canel. So the American indictment against Raul Castro relates to an incident in 1996 when two civilian planes were shot down by the Cubans, and that killed four people, American citizens. During the 90s, a time of the special economic measures, when the Soviet Union was no more and Cuba hadn't really got tourism going very much. Cuba was in dire straits. People were reduced to eating cats and so forth. And many Cubans were fleeing to the United States because, of course, it's only 90 miles from Florida. That's why Miami is sort of Cuba's second capital, as it were. Marco Rubio, the current U.S. Secretary of State, he's of Cuban stock, although his parents left the country in 1956 before the communist takeover. And there's a bit of a dilemma in the 90s for President William Jefferson Clinton, because, okay, want to bring down communism in Cuba. On the other hand, does the U.S. really want another 10 million people to come there? The whole wet foot, dry foot policy. If you made it to American soil, you're allowed to stay. If you're intercepted at sea, you return to Cuba. But then you're going to be punished for having tried to flee. The U.S. could have brought down the Cuban government, just emptied Cuba by putting out the news, anyone, if we find you on the way, we'll take you. Of course, people could be coming from the Dominican Republic or Colombia or whatever at sea, pretend to be Cuban and could get away with it. That's one of the reasons they wouldn't do that unless they're sure you're Cuban. Okay. So is this a legitimate judicial response? Well, because of Raul Castro's position in the Cuban government at the time, this might be he was the one responsible for this. And there was a Cuban American organization of exiles, Brothers to the Rescue, trying to help Cubans who are running away to freedom. Now, because obviously Cuba was a one party state, there was no fair trials, there's no right to real trade unions, right to strike, free expression and all the rest of it. Torture was used extensively. I mean, it wasn't the cruelest regime in the world. The U.S. has propped up a few of those, and not too far away from Cuba, like maybe Papa Duvalier's regime in Haiti or in Dominican Republic in years around then. It wasn't quite one of the slaughterhouse states. Now, I'm an avowed anti-communist, but not everything about communist Cuba was bad. It's very seldom like that. I mean, they did have publicly funded health care. Okay, you don't have to use it, and so forth. And they reduced the illiteracy rate to almost zero by the 1970s and stuff like that. Give the devil his due. And they had a higher life expectancy than the United States. But so the Chinese has strongly spoken up for the Cuban regime and are saying they shouldn't be doing this. And they support Cuba and so on. Of course, in China, people have been shot dead for simply leaving the country. If you don't get through a legal port of entry, a Chinese person isn't the one to flee to cross the border, is not harming anyone, and they get killed for it. The supreme sanction. So you don't even get for the death penalty for murder in most countries, but you get that in China for simply leaving the country without you know, going through the proper channels. So five people, along with Raul Castro, have been charged with shooting down these people. There's civilian targets. These people were unarmed. They were not firing at Cuba. They're no threat to Cuba. They were just helping people try to leave the country. Okay, the planes were shot down, three people drowned. I think one of them survived. Because back in those days, in the 90s, Raul Castro was head of the armed forces. Ultimately, he's responsible. Did he give the order? So the president of Cuba at the moment, Miguel Díaz-Canel, denounced as a political maneuver and it said it's legally, it is groundless. Well, because the thing is, was this crime committed in Cuba, or was it committed in the United States, or was it committed in international waters? I'm not quite clear. But the United States surely doesn't have a legal jurisdiction over what happens in Cuba. Does Cuba have legal jurisdiction about what happens in the United States? If international waters, I think it's obviously more dubious. Right. So the United States has got a president whose criminality is absolutely rampant and has murdered people in the Caribbean Sea. People whom he accused of being drug dealers without evidence, just shooting them dead, just having their planes, their boats blown up. Fishermen mostly, presumption of innocence. He insists the presumption of innocence himself. So by the same token, Donald J. Trump would be indicted 100 times over. So anyway, Raul Castro, I don't hold a brief for him. And obviously you shouldn't kill people unless absolutely unavoidable. There was no war between the United States and Cuba at the time. So goodness, some people say it's simply a way of pressurizing Cuba. They would agree to drop this if Cuba transitions. And the United States Secretary of State, Marco Rubio, as in foreign minister, he's offered Cuba a new relationship with the United States. And what would the USA like to see happen? Probably Díaz-Canel and maybe sort of the filthy 50 go, the top communist officials whom they say would, are just unredeemable, maybe a lower tier, they could rise to the top, unbanned political parties, free and fair elections. Trouble is, that might bring to office a government quite similar to the one there is now. There's this maybe misunderstanding in the United States, this assumption the government is deeply unpopular in Cuba. I mean, it's not very. The hardship, the suffering, the deprivation, that's unpopular, but that's caused by the United States, not really the Cuban government. But anyway, free all political prisoners, allow all exiles back without any threat of prosecution. The restitution of property to American companies and individuals who had it seized in 1959, where not practicable, paying compensation. Now, Cuba doesn't have that money right now. But I'm just saying that if a sort of 1% of all the earnings from tourism something like went to pay that compensation, pay it back over decades or centuries, that might be acceptable. To recognize the U.S. lease over Guantanamo, maybe cede sovereignty to the Guantanamo base, the very eastern end of Cuba, permanently, agree to limit their armed forces, agree not to purchase weapons without permission of the United States, agree never to form any military alliances without permission of Washington, D.C., so therefore agree not to host foreign troops or not to engage in hostile actions against the United States. Also things the USA would like to see as little more as a satrapy, turning the Caribbean Sea into an American lake, but obviously lifting all sanctions. And that would really stimulate the economy. Americans could go there without fear of prosecution. So recently, they could only go there to go sort of a cultural tour. So the minimal amount of money is going to the Cuban government. Have to be there for lessons in cha-cha-cha dancing or Spanish or the guitar or something. I've met American tourists who've been going there for 20 years, and that was at 2015 I went. Okay, so because there's sanctions against lots of people involved in the Cuban military, energy, security sector, the financial sector, and so forth, supposedly over human rights abuses, as though Trump cares about human rights. So they thought that the Cuban government is about to fall. And the thing is, they might be right. There's only so long Cuba can go on. You can't live a 21st century life, maybe in the 20th century life without that. The economy cannot function. It's all based on the idea we have access to electricity and to the internal combustion engine and so forth. And unlike Iran, they've got no stick, the Cubans. They've only got carrot. So they're going to have to cave in at some point. But one of the concessions the US could do is they could withdraw these indictments, which then would suggest that really this is political bullying. It's not made on a judicial basis, even though I think the evidence against him is quite clear. You might argue about the legality of it. But obviously, it's the pot calling the kettle black when the US does this, which doesn't make it right what Raul Castro did. All right. So because obviously the US calls it murder, and there's a certain logic to their case. What do you think should happen? Thanks for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, donate to PayPal, georgecarlin792.com. Goodbye.